opportunity and believes in me and trusts in me that he can go away and that he puts this in my hands tonight. I do not take that lightly. Certainly, I don't want to disappoint the Lord, and I certainly don't want him to disappoint my pastor. We're going to go to the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 43 through 51. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Who's praying for me tonight? Brother Kenny?
Hallelujah.
Let your anointing begin to flow over Brother Jerry, Lord, as he brings your word, Lord. Open our ears and our hearts to receive it, Lord. And we stand here, my mighty God, ready to receive your word, Lord, and respond to your word, Jesus, that we can take it out to this world and allow it to impact someone, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Gospel of John. My title tonight, you haven't seen nothing yet. Haven't seen nothing yet. This is the Gospel of John. This event soon followed after John was sent, the one crying in the wilderness, make the path straight for the coming of the Lord. In this event, in verse 40, as we read in verse 45, as I read this, I began to weep. The tears started to flow. It says, Peter, when verse 43, Jesus went to the Galilee and found Philip and saith, follow me. And then Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said unto him, we have found him. So Jesus had found Philip, okay? But then Philip went to his friend Nathanael that was sitting under the fig tree, and he says, we have found him. We have found him. I think of the day that I found the Lord, and that's why the tears began to flow. Such an impactful statement there. When you have found the Lord, my goodness, it's a treasure, and you don't forget that day. We read in verse 46, as Nathanael came out and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can there anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. You know, when we found the Lord, I remember the zeal that I had. I wanted to tell everybody. And everywhere I went, people could feel the Holy Ghost. People could feel that, the presence of the Lord. There was no denying it. And when I told my family and friends, you know, my mom and my sister was there that night. But when I told others about it, most people were excited, co-workers and things. Most people were excited. But here's my thing. When he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, I don't know what people in this world expect. You know, Nazareth was a little rural area in the southern part of Galilee. And When you go tell people in Ashtabula County, you got to come to our church. You got to come invite them to our church. And I think there's a lot of skepticism there, because what they see is the world's idea of church is these big cathedrals, these big Vatican and all those big cathedrals around the world. And they think, my goodness, this little country church down on Route 6, you're telling me that the presence of God is there, You're telling me that what happened to you happened at that little country church. So what did we tell them? Come and see. You have to experience this for yourself. Last Wednesday night, that Diane lady that Terry invited, she's from a different denomination. She's from the Pittsburgh area. She stood at this altar just weeping. She said, I've never felt this before. And I said, Diane, what you feel is what this world is looking for. And they're looking to all sorts of things trying to obtain it. But you know now where to find it. And she says, yes, you're absolutely right. I don't know what happened to her, but I believe God will send her back in our path. Verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, Nathanael's initial skeptical response soon turned to astonishment when Jesus, whom he'd never met before, saw his pure heart, that he was an Israelite truly seeking God. See, Jesus saw the heart. You know, you think back, you know, Nathanael was sitting under that fig tree. You know, that's resemblant of God. God saw him under that Jesus saw him under that fig tree. But Jesus saw us afar off. Jesus saw our heart. When I was a drunk, when I was all in those no good things in this world, my heart, God still saw my heart. And he sent somebody in my path. And I was skeptical. I remember the first time I walked in, I was really skeptical. I went to many different churches, but the church I got the Holy Ghost in, I knew when I walked in, just as Nathanael felt, I knew I was in the right place. I knew God brought me there. God saw me afar off, and he sent somebody to invite me to that place. This Nathanael, this acquaintance of Philip, he's only mentioned in the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John refers to him as Nathanael. The other three Gospels mention Bartholomew, but the Gospel of John doesn't mention Bartholomew. So it's believed that by many that Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same person. So that was eliminating the confusion. So in verse 48, he said, when did thou knowest me? And Jesus said, before Philip invited you, I saw you far off. We realized that God saw us the whole journey. We began to search for him. And he sent someone to tell us. Well, I just said, he saw us the whole journey. He saw us from day one, from the time we was a child, through all of our ups and downs, and he sent someone in our path. He sent someone to tell us about the name of Jesus. And when we came to that point, when we came to the house of the Lord, when we came to the Lord, he saw that heart, that true heart, and he knew that we were ready. He knew that it's called a contrite spirit, and he filled us with the Holy Ghost. In verse 49 through 51, Nathanael then realized that he found who he had been searching for. But Jesus made it clear that because he saw him afar off, and he believed that he hadn't seen nothing yet. See, once you come into the house of the Lord and you feel that presence, you know, we're all skeptical. We come into the house of the Lord and we feel that, and then we realize we found what we've been looking for our life. We found what we've been running from all of our life. I remember when I was in the world and Sunday evenings, no matter what I was doing, I could be at a party, I could be at a casino. No matter what I was doing, I always felt so empty inside. Because I had a void in my heart that I couldn't fill with things of this world. It was not until I came to the Lord that on Sunday evenings, that hole was filled, that void was filled. I never felt that again. I've never felt that since August 8, 2010. This Nathanael, the Lord told him, he said that you haven't seen anything yet. This apostle died in the first century AD and was flayed alive and beheaded. He was martyred for converting Polymius, the king of Armenia, to Christianity. So here's Bartholomew, Nathanael. The Lord told him, you haven't seen nothing yet. You know, at that point there, you know, he knew he was just in the presence of Almighty God. He knew who he was in the presence of, and he called him Rabbi, the Son of God. But he had no idea what lay ahead. He had no idea, if you read throughout the Gospels, all the miracles that he would see the Lord do, all the people that he would see healed. He saw the water turned into wine at the first miracle at the wedding. He saw the Lord go to Calvary and die on Calvary, and then to be buried and rise and appear to them for 40 days later. He saw all those things. But when he died, all the acts that the apostles did, all the miracles that they performed, you know, it's like when we're in the house of the Lord and we have those services where the presence of the Lord is so heavy and so thick and tears just begin to flow, that is nothing compared to what lies ahead. We haven't seen nothing yet. We haven't felt nothing yet. You know, when he was being flayed and he was being beheaded for converting this king, he must have thought, my goodness. But you know what? He held his faith. And I know that when he gave up the ghost, then he knew. He knew he saw something that was far greater than what he had witnessed already. He saw something that he couldn't even imagine. Imagine in our hearts and minds how wonderful heaven is going to be. And although that he witnessed it and suffered and went through, there was something greater even waiting ahead. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Brother Tyler, if you would come and play. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." He also says in his word, "If you love me, obey my commandments." As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That right there is far, far more than anything we've ever experienced in any given service. And as we read it, as wonderful and exciting as that sounds, the Lord returning in the clouds of glory, we can't even imagine what that's going to be like. We can't even imagine to look up and see the Lord coming through the cloud. We can't even imagine that, what we feel. We know what we feel in these services. You know, when the Lord moves on us and we just stand there and weep in his presence, to be with him in eternity, we can't even describe it. We're going to go to Revelations 2 and 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying that he receiveth." Hallelujah. I don't know about you. My name's going to be written on a white stone. There's not a bottle of beer. There's not pornography. There's not a spirit of offense. There's not anything going to keep me from that. I've made my mind up. I want to see greater things. I know I haven't seen nothing yet. I know what I felt in the house of the Lord. I've been in the presence of God and tears began to flow. I know where he's brought me from. And sometimes I think back to who I was and I just can't believe who I used to be. But by the grace of God, he reached down and he pulled me out of that muck and that mire. And he gave me placed me on a rock to stay and live in this Christian life. There's no other life. There's no other life than living for the Lord. It's glory and honor to live for God. As we read in Revelations chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels." Brother Hector, think of that day, brother. Think of that day. He's confessing your name before the Father and before the angels. Think of that day. He's confessing all of our names. What in this world would keep us from wanting that? Nothing. But you know what? We allow ourselves to be entangled, like Pastor preached last week. We allow ourselves to be tangled in things that don't even matter. You know, things that will keep us out of eternity. You know, we let the spirit of offense come in. We let all sorts of things come in. We let division come in. We let all those things come in. You know, those things will really pull us away from God. If we let those things manifest, we let them things grow, those things right there can keep us from seeing what God has for us, even greater things. And finally, in Revelations 3:20 through 22, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Well, I feel like the Lord is speaking to us tonight. We haven't seen nothing yet. We only know through his word what awaits. But I know one thing for sure. We can't allow anything. As we pray for our brother, and that's so important to pray for one another, because those things come in. Those things cause division. Those things cause all sorts of things. There are people not serving God right now, completely backslidden over petty little stuff. You know, I heard Pastor talk about somebody that left the church over the color of the carpet. You're going to miss this over a color of a carpet? Come on. We haven't seen nothing yet. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to have the full armor of God on every day, because you know what? Satan would love us for us to miss out on that. He would love nothing more than take a child of God and put his name in his trophy case. And when that day comes, when the Lord returns and we're not ready and we've missed out, like the five foolish virgins that went back for oil that missed out, we can't have that happen in our life. As we stand here this evening, I know I'm a little short, but I just felt like I wanted to encourage us here tonight. And I don't want us to ever get our mind off what's ahead, because we haven't seen nothing yet. You know, we've been in these powerful services. We've heard the word of God just turn us on the inside and convict us and correct us and all of those things. But we haven't seen nothing yet. Imagine that day that you're with the Lord for eternity. You know, people don't think eternity's real. You know, they dabble. They ride on the fence. They dabble in sin. And then one day, something happens in their life, and they miss out. They miss out on this. They've been in the house of the Lord. They've seen great things. You know what? But they never got a chance to see any more than that, because they allowed themselves. They allowed something, things of this world. They allowed the spirit of division, the spirit of offense, whatever the case may be, caused them to miss out on this. As Nathaniel came to the Lord with that true heart, God sees that heart. And I think sometimes as in our walk with God, that heart, for some reason, gets hardened. You know, we forget our first love. We forget what it was like that first time coming to this altar and just weeping and snot rolling down our shirt. And we truly repenting, truly, truly crying out to God. You know, we need to do more of that. We need to be thankful for what lies ahead, because we haven't seen nothing yet. I just ask you here tonight, I thank the Lord for this word. And there's greater things, and I don't want to miss out, and I certainly don't want any of you to miss out on them. Let's ask within ourselves, if there's anything going to keep me from seeing more than what I've already seen, Lord, take it from me. Brother Tyler.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. grace you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, yes, Jesus, you give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Oh, it's your breath. It's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, yes, Jesus, we pour out our praise to you. Oh, hallelujah. We worship the name, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, and great are you, Lord, and shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. Oh, great are you, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus. And great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. Hallelujah. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and lift up our hands and talk to God Almighty right now. Lord, we give you the glory and honor. I pray, Lord, that you loose the faith in this house right now, Jesus. Lord, whatever is weighing on us, Lord, whatever has tried to come on us this week, Jesus, Lord, that we would put that trust that greater things are to come, Lord, that we haven't seen anything yet. We've not seen the blind eyes open yet, but we're going to. We've not seen financial miracles yet, but we're going to. We may have not seen, Lord, broken bodies healed, Lord, and cancer falling off of people, Lord. But we're gonna see the revival coming through these doors. We're gonna see family members returning to this church. We're gonna see people made whole and delivered and restored from alcoholism, from pornography, from drug addiction. God, you're gonna release it all and reclaim it, Lord. And I pray for that faith to go in our hearts. Follow us home, Lord, and let it begin to just plant and grow seeds, Lord, in our everyday lives, Lord, whether it's at home, at work, in our cars, Lord, picking people up, Jesus, in our conversations on the phone. Let those seeds come out of our mouth and be planted in the lives of those around us, Lord, that greater things are yet to come. We claim it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed this evening.